We're talking today to James Howard Kunstler, who is an author. Gosh, you're an author, you're a journalist. I mean, besides you write articles, you lecture. I kind of gave you, in my interpretation of what I read, as a philosopher or a sociologist. So welcome. You have a new book out.
It is a new book. It's called Living in the Long Emergency, and it's kind of a follow-up to The Long Emergency, which came out in 2005.
Okay, great. So how has it changed? How has the book changed from 2005?
Well, you know, a number of things have turned out differently. It's pretty self-evident that we have entered some kind of a long emergency now as of, you know, the spring of 2020. But I wrote that other book originally in 2005. A lot of it was concerned with the oil scene, the petroleum scene. And, you know, I was discussing a lot about peak oil, and the oil scene has really changed a lot. We went through this shale oil miracle thing, which was really a financial stunt. It was kind of, you know, grafting a Ponzi scheme onto the oil industry to produce oil in a way that didn't make any money for the oil industry. And now it's falling apart, you know, prompted by the stresses in the financial system on top of the coronavirus emergency. The oil industry is now cratering, and the shale oil miracle is over. And we've kind of entered that long emergency in earnest now. But it didn't work out exactly the way many of us thought in 2005. You know, it wasn't simply a peak in conventional oil and then, you know, a long trip down. It was more a matter of we couldn't afford the oil. The oil became unaffordable. And since oil drives the entire economy, the economy is now collapsing.
Well, it's interesting because the price of oil has gone down dramatically. And
And people misunderstand what that means. You know, the price of oil, ironically, is probably going to remain low for quite a while. But even so, there will be fewer and fewer people who can even afford to use it and buy it. And, you know, it's a very strange dynamic. It's going to be very hard for people to understand, but it's still, you know, it's still out there working its magic to destroy the economy.
The energy companies are investing so much now in natural energy, green energy.
I don't know about that. I think they're pretending to, but the basic dynamic there is that you need an oil economy to support the production of so-called alternative energy or green energy. And without the underlying support platform of an oil economy that actually pencils out economically, we're not going to be able to do those things. And it remains and will remain a fantasy. You know, it's more likely that we're going to, you know, kind of go medieval.
So you look at society as saying that we're going to go medieval because...
Yeah, well, after 2005, when the Long Emergency book came out, I undertook a pretty big project of writing a series of four novels about what the post-oil, post-economic crash society would look like. And the first novel was called World Made by Hand. Mm-hmm. And the three novels beyond that formed a series that I call the World Made by Hand series. And, you know, you can get them at the bookstore or, you know, wherever books are sold. It was an effort to depict what that world would be like and give people a sense of the flavor and texture of it. And it was set in a small town in upstate New York, not unlike the one that I live in. And it depicted a world in which, you know, many of the comforts and convenience of modernity had faded away. The electricity was flickering out. The internet was gone. The long supply lines from distant manufacturers was over with. The automobile happy motoring age was no more. We just don't know it yet.
Well, do you think we're on our way there?
Absolutely.
I think, you know, it might be possible with the retraction of our interaction with the rest of society that maybe we are going to get back to basics, you know, like growing your own vegetables and...
I don't think there's any question that life is going to be a lot less complex. I wouldn't say simpler necessarily, because that would be misleading. But, you know, the macro trend underway is for life to become less complex, less dependent on gigantic organizations, and more local. And you can state kind of categorically that anything organized at the giant scale is now going to fail. And that doesn't mean the end of the human project or the end of civilization necessarily, but it means we face a pretty serious reorganization of everyday life and the activities that support it. And you know, that you can either go with that flow or you can fight it and, you know, fight a losing battle. And you know, I hope we don't make that the second choice.
Would we still be so dependent upon oil? Would we still be so dependent upon multi-corporations running things? And
I don't think so. I do think oil is going to be with us for a while, but it really depends on, you know, whether the companies that produce it can operate at a different scale than they're used to. And I'm not sure that they can. The oil industry is really a gigantically scaled industry. It's not a boutique industry. And it's liable to not, you know, the rise of the oil industry is not going to be symmetrical with the retreat of the oil industry. So we may be disappointed about that. And, you know, I think there are going to be a lot of things we're not going to be able to access anymore. And we're going to have to return to other ways of living.
I think what we're insinuating or thinking about here is that the oil industry is the energy industry.
Well, it is the most important part of the energy industry.
But even though they might be sort of diverting into solar power or hydropower or whatever, you don't think that would...
Look, we're not going to run...
They're still going to control it, right?
It's not a matter really who controls it. I mean, you can't do the oil industry without it being big. But the bottom line is we're not going to run suburbia, the interstate highway system, Walt Disney World, Hollywood, the U.S. military, and the Rockefeller Center on any combination of solar, wind, dark matter, used French fried potato oil, and other things that we're fantasizing about. You know, life is going to be more difficult. It's going to be, we're going to live it at a lower scale, and there's going to be less stuff. And, you know, we're going to have to go with that flow and figure out how to do that and remain civilized. The real big question, I think, for now is how much disorder will this transformation entail? You know, on our journey to a less complex, more local mode of living, less global way of living, you know, as the world becomes a wider place again, how much disorder will follow in that process? And what kind of disorder will it be? We can see right now that a lot of it is going to be financial disorder. The financial system is probably the most fragile of the major systems that we depend on because it's the most abstract. And it's the one that depends most really on faith. For example, the faith that currencies and that money has meaning. And, you know, we're now in the process of destroying the meaning of money with all of the Federal Reserve and central bank antics that are going on in the U.S. and other countries. And so the financial system is clearly wobbling. We're already seeing problems with the food supply chains. You know, the meat processors are being shut down because they don't want to run with employees who are infected with COVID-19. So the food supply system is now under threat. And, you know, that's pretty basic. When people get hungry, you know, the old saying is you're 3 days of hunger away from a revolution. And I expect it's going to be a pretty dynamic summer.
Well, our president has just asked that they restart up the abattoirs and the food processing companies.
I think he recognizes that, you know, you can't just shut them down. It's going to be terribly problematical. So, you know, we're now in that point in the virus emergency, which is, you know, a kind of subset of the lung emergency. We're in that point of balancing the shutdown of activities with the benefit of secluding from the virus and the spread of the virus. And, you know, there's obviously a lot of mixed opinion on both sides of that. And, you know, I don't think that either side is necessarily right or wrong, but it's kind of Hobson's choice. You know, we're a bit screwed either way you go with that. I do think it is a little bit foolish to be just engaging in blame games about it.